the Rick Emerson radio program. Thanks for coming by. It's 503-733-2970. Rick, this email says, from somebody I wouldn't know, I called in a prank phone call to the Hawthorne Bridge operator this morning. Have you heard if they got it? I told them the bridge was broken, close it down, don't use it. Said I was with Port Authority. Told them I was on my way down to fix it. Never went. Any idea what happened? Ha, 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 ha. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Let's see.
Funny guy.
Rick, I saw an ad this morning on the news on Channel 12 that a new toothbrush is going to be released that plays Kiss songs while brushing your teeth. Oh, God. Is it only available? It's only available in New York right now, but nationwide in 07. Thank God Almighty. Thank God Almighty. Ladies and gentlemen.
Time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
The Pineapple Express is hammering the Northwest with rain, wind, and flooding.
All right, no one knows what that means.
Well, let me tell you about this.
Okay.
The warm, moist weather system, being like Al Gore here, the warm, moist weather system, sometimes called the Pineapple Express, since it originates in the tropical region of the Pacific Ocean, is expected to continue, delivering rain and wind through Tuesday. And another rain system is expected right after that with more pineapples.
The Pineapple Express sounds like some unpleasant condition that you would experience the next day after having the Wenatchee banana, doesn't it? Oh, man, all night you was giving me the Wenatchee banana, and now I'm in a bad case of the Pineapple Express. That's exactly what that sounds like. All right. I'm going to put those in the same hopper in everybody's mind right now. Okay, now Laura and I were talking about this last night. Is it the warm weather that causes the rain, or is it the rain that makes it feel warm outside?
You'd have to ask Al Gore that.
All right. If somebody knows. And believe it or not, I really do care about that. Not
a
lot.
We have a meteorologist on the staff.
No, we don't. And we don't even have Dan DeRose, because he's in whatever, Cleveland or something now. We have no meteorologist. Isn't there some guy at COIN?
Yeah, my friend Tim still works at COIN. He's the meteorologist there.
Who was the meteorologist we talked to before?
The Ronk.
Oh, he's gone.
He's gone.
Where did he go? Albuquerque?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all right. Well, in any event, I don't really care a lot, but I care a little. Because Laura and I got into the conversation. She claims that it's the rain that makes it warm. And I was claiming it's the other way around. And I realized, as I'm saying this is a really tedious, stupid conversation.
I'm pretty sure she's right.
Yeah, see, but I don't even know. I got nothing. Here's
so the things are going to flood where they usually do, and they're going to be wet leaves, and cars aren't going to be able to stop before hitting you. So be careful.
And the bridge is going to collapse, and you're all going to plunge into the sea.
There's also flooding at the Hollywood Liquor Store at Northeast 37th and Sandy. It has 2 inches of water on the floor.
Save the booze!
And we don't know if it was caused by this, but there was an earthquake last night downtown around 5th Street was the epicenter, and it was at 2.6.
Really?
Maybe that's what... Gospel Bridge.
Could be. I know this sounds a lot like my thing about people who drive and don't they anticipate the water at this point. But you know what else I wonder about? I wonder about... I mean, because it's been raining, but I mean, it's not like it's raining a lot. I mean, it's just it's the rainy season. It's not like it's raining more than normal. It's not a monsoon. And yet, we've all been to those places so far where it's like you go to a corner and it's like 4 feet deep with water. It's like a puddle. I just don't understand. How long has Portland been here? How old is this city? And I know that it's a Portland
The 1800s.
So it's like 200 years old. So, I mean, it does seem 150 years old. It seems like by now they ought to be able to, like, figure out where the water pools and have a thing to drain it away. You know what I mean? It's just the whole thing puzzles me, why they can't get this taken care of.
Oh, yeah. I sit in the water, like, up to my ankles around the corner from the Schnitzer place last night.
Oh, man. And it's, well, that, and it's like the, you know, and you're driving along, and you're afraid your car's going to bottom out or short out or something. Because there's that thing that happens to some cars. I don't really know how cars work, because I'm stupid.
They're mechanical.
Yeah.
In nature, they have a combustible engine.
It's technical. I remember driving my dad's Jeep when I was growing up. And it's like you would occasionally, if you were in too deep in the water, it would actually kill the engine. And I was afraid we were coming back from errands last night. And I was afraid that was going to happen because there's this huge lake you got to drive through. There's no way to get around it. And then every time you drive through one of those, you're trying to make sure that you're not that a-hole who's splashing everybody at the bus, you know, stop on either side of you. So, in any event, here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, a Marin County's exotic cat is missing after a strong wind tore out part of the pet's cage roof last night. This missing pet's name is Aziz. It's a 3-year-old African serval. It got loose at 10 o'clock last night. The wind just tore the roof right off, and the most he'll do if you happen to see him is hiss and slap if somebody doesn't know it. But it's a dangerous-looking thing.
Oh,
it's loose.
What kind of cat is that?
This is a serval.
Okay, that looks like a tiger.
It does look like a tiger.
That looks like a thing that'd kill you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, if you see,
so try not to tease it.
If you see that thing and you screw with it, it really is your own fault.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now listen to this. Now this is apparently Lisa Goddard. I hate to say this, but Lisa Goddard may have been incorrect about something. Baghdad Bob was the Iraqi information minister. Mohammed Saeed al-Shahaf. Tariq Aziz was the Iraqi ambassador to the U.S. Tariq is under arrest awaiting trial. Baghdad Bob, Mohammed Saeed al-Shahif, is still at large. P.S., you're welcome. That's from Hank. And then he sent along a compendium of fantastic quotes from Baghdad Bob, such as... this is great. There's just a whole list of things that he said where he was talking about there are no... You know, there are no American infidels in Baghdad. Never. My feelings, as usual, we will slaughter all. God will roast their stomachs in hell at the hands of Iraqis. They are coming to surrender or be burned in their tanks. Let's see. We are not afraid of the Americans. Allah has condemned them. They are stupid. They are stupid. They are stupid. Pause. And they are condemned. Let's see. What else do we have here? God, this is, we have all the Americans surrounded in their tanks. They will be surrendering to us today, and then they will burn. All right. Fantastic. There you go. That's Baghdad Bob. We'll check it. We'll find out from Lisa about that tomorrow. All right.
Let's do a, we haven't done one of these in a long time, a Saddam watch.
Here's Saddam watch for Saddam. Monday and the, Rick Emerson.
Some people say that I'm a bad guy. They may be right.
Bum, bum.
Right.
Bum, bum, bum.
But it's not as if I don't
bum, bum,
try.
Bum, bum,
I just don't
bum,
try
bum,
as
bum,
I might.
Bum, bum.
But I can change, I can change. I can learn to keep my promises, I swear it. I'll open up my heart and I will share it.
Admit now I will be born again.
Well, President Bush says the conviction of former Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein is a step forward for Iraq.
Today we witnessed a landmark event in the history of Iraq. Saddam Hussein was convicted and sentenced to death by the Iraqi High Tribunal.
Ooh, we love to death.
We love
death.
Killing people.
You bet.
I love death.
Mm-hmm. Everyone, get up and vote. Former Louisiana Congressman Bob Livingston said
the sentence
handed down the former Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein might give a slight advantage to Republicans because it highlights the fact that Democrats just want to cut and run.
The fact is, he's been sentenced to hang, and the sooner he hangs, the better. The big difference between the two parties is, and I hope people think about this when they go to the polls, is that the Democrats basically want to get out of Iraq. And I think that would be devastating to our war on terror all around the world.
The Democrats are not a hanging party, and that has to change.
Yeah. the Democrats will win more stuff when they just start killing folks. That's what they are. The Democrats ought to just start picking one person at random from within their own party and killing them live on television every single day. That's what they can do, is pool all of their resources, buy like one, you know, and political ad time is cheap. You buy like one political spot a day, you grab somebody, it doesn't matter who it is, janitor, doesn't matter. Just put some guy in television, shoot him in the goddamn head, right, every single day. That's how you convince middle Americans to vote for you. Show that you will kill people who've absolutely done nothing to you.
Mm-hmm.
There you go, fantastic.
Well, Tony Blair says the UK opposes the death penalty for Saddam. At his monthly press conference, Blair had a heated exchange with one reporter when he refused to clarify his own view.
Obviously, since we're opposed to the death penalty, we're in exactly the position that she described.
You oppose his execution.
Aaron, excuse me.
Shut up.
Enough, thank you very much.
Because
I happen to want to express myself in my own way, if you don't mind.
Mr. Giles, I was wondering if I might accompany Cordelia to the prom. That's totally what that is. Ever since I made that connection in my head, that's the only way I can see him. Like a tie and little tiny little glasses there. So he's... England is opposed to the death penalty?
And so is the EU. Yeah.
Obviously, since we're opposed to the death penalty, we're in exactly the position that she described.
You oppose his execution.
I don't... Excuse me, that is just enough. Thank you very much. Because I happen to want to express myself in my own way, if you don't mind.
Well, all right then. Somebody's a little snippy.
Yes, so.
Somebody's tea was under steeped this morning. Well, there you go. So, okay.
Dan Rather says he has a healthy respect for Saddam.
He certainly is wiry. He's
okay. Now let's just, first of all, let's just stop to say
we want to know what Dan Rather thinks about this.
We really do. But can you imagine Dan Rather saying this when he was still on the air? Can you imagine what the Republicans would have done if Dan Rather has respect for Saddam Hussein? In fact, I'm surprised that Drudge doesn't have this in like 100-point type today.
He certainly is wiry. He's cunning. He's smart.
Wiry.
He always wants to hope that the
is he become Asian?
Not smart. He's very, very smart. And whatever else he is or isn't, he is not a madman. He's always thinking.
Dan, come on. You can't. Dan Rather ought to know by now that he can't say stuff like that because it's going to end up on the front page.
Meanwhile, Howard Dean says the Democrats want to redeploy the military to some country outside of Iraq.
It's a phased redeployment. Well, some of the troops will have to stay there, not in Iraq, but in a nearby country for some time because of the problems with terrorism and the whole problem that was started by the president's choice of going to Iraq.
The problems with terrorism, like the trouble with tribbles. Well, it's... somebody's sending me another list of Baghdad Bob stuff. By the way, have you noticed that Howard Dean is using that new direction phrase constantly? I mean, he's right here, Rick. I was listening to Howard Dean. He's been using the term quite a bit. I heard him use it 3 or 4 times in an interview about the upcoming election of the weekend. And then this is supposedly a video. Let me see if this will play. Somebody sent me a video of Howard Dean talking about taking the Democratic Party in an exciting... in an exciting new direction. Let's see if this will play right here. And
Russ, thanks for having me on. Since September 11, 2001, the Republican election playbook has pretty much been take the national security issue and hammer Democrats with it. It worked in 2002. It worked in 2004 against all odds. What makes you think that things are going to be different this time around?
Because the truth is that the Republicans look increasingly incompetent in defending our nation. 5 years into the Bush presidency, Republican majority, we see Iran is about to get nuclear weapons. North Korea not only has them, but is expanding the number of nuclear weapons. Osama bin Laden is still at large. And I think the American people realized that Iraq was a war of choice and that the real war is the war on terror. And the Democrats want a new direction in our defense. We want to fight the war
on
terror.
Wait, let's see if we
can... Real war is the war on terror. The Democrats want a new direction in our defense policy. We want to fight
Fantastic.
The war on terror.
Thank you, sir. All right, there you go. Well, I'll be going through an excerpt in a minute later. Is that Tim Ryan?
That is the end of the Saddam Watch.
There's your Saddam Watch.
But I can change, I can change. I can learn to keep my promises, I swear it. I'll open up my heart and I will share it. Any minute now I will be born again.
Oh, I'm going to miss that guy. So, I mean, it seems unlikely that they're going to do anything that would keep him from being hung, right? I mean, I can't possibly imagine.
All you got to do is open up the door and throw him out of the green zone. He'll be gone in about 5 minutes.
I can't imagine that anybody who's going to put themselves on the line and go, like, no, let's give him another chance. Let him retire to a dacha in the countryside. So they're going to host that guy. Well, that'll be the end of an era. This is Dave. Dave, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hey, Rick.
Hey.
Do you know any of your history of the...
No.
Let's see.
I don't care what your sentence is ending with. The answer is no.
Early 1900s.
Let me just settle in. Hold on. Let me just pull up a chair. All right. Yes.
No, this won't take very long. Basically, we're having problems with Islamic extremists in the Philippines.
And this is from... This has to do with the 1900s. How?
Well, in the... Anyway... Blackjack Pershing rounded up 100 of these fellas.
Who?
Execute Blackjack Pershing, one of our great military leaders from days of yore.
Listen,
anyway, he rounded up 100 of these cats.
Yeah.
Lined them up against the wall, machine gun 99 of them, put them in a pit, covered them with pig blood, and then set number 100 off to tell the rest of their ilk that...
This is a charming story.
Oh, hey, this is what you have to look forward to if you continue to mess with the United States. But that...
I have no idea what we're...
And who are the fellas against the wall?
You know I'm not an Iraqi, right?
These were Islamic extremists who were trying to convert the countryside to Islam back in the 1890s, early 1900s.
Were we talking about pig's blood or something, Tim?
I'm thinking of that movie Carrie.
Why? That's the last time I've seen it. You. Down.
Wait. Oh, yeah, okay. Where are you calling from?
The Willamette River.
Okay.
I'm on my phone.
What? Hello?
Karen.
Hello? Hello?
You're fine.
Oh, no.
I guess the bridge got stuck.
That's too bad. We lost his phone call. I have no idea what the hell. Let me talk about the night. Do you remember when we used to round people up and cover them with pig's blood?
I remember my grandma on the front porch with the butter churn.
I remember back when men knew their place and women knew their place, and we covered infidels in pig's blood.
He really didn't set up that story too well.
Really?
Did you have any idea what he was... I thought he was going to tell some fun anecdote about Portland.
Especially on the screen, it was like, Dave, calling from middle of Willamette River on boat, has great call. I was thinking, Rick, let me talk about Iraqis in pig's blood. Okay, that call just kind of came out of nowhere. All right, hey, listen to that. Yes, it's air leaving the room and momentum escaping the show. Thank you, sir. Here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, stores in the balloon business are expecting a helium shortage the day before the election, as production from two large international sites are temporarily down, and the U.S. Helium Reserve Complex in Amarillo undergoes maintenance.
Amarillo?
Yes, that's where the Helium Reserve Complex is.
Do you mean Amarillo?
I probably do.
No, it could be a different place. I always wonder about that all the way, by the way.
Why is it some double L's are E and some are L?
That's what I'm saying. I always wonder why it's not Amarillo. I always wonder why it's Amarillo. That's just a thing where Whitey...
I think that's a Whitey.
Yeah, did Whitey, did a cracker just put his foot down? It's Amarillo! Now! I've never understood that. Who knows where helium comes from? Anyone? Class?
Amarillo. The U.S. Strategic Reserve Complex.
Tanks with the Burger King's head on top. It comes out of the rock. Isn't that weird?
Second biggest place is, of course, ExxonMobil owns the rest of the helium in the world. And their plant is in Wyoming.
Well, you know what's bizarre, though, is literally that helium just comes out of rocks. It's like it comes out of rocks under the ground, which is weird.
So we heard you
people
working
in that
guy.
But it's strange.
People sound like rocks. Who work in that industry.
What's that?
After they finish a day's work gathering helium, what do they sound like?
Let's go get a cool one. That's the cheapest joke. No, it's bizarre to think that you could walk around on the ground that's just filled with helium.
I want to know more about helium.
I really don't. All right.
Maybe that fellow will call back.
Dave, why don't you go back and tell us what helium was like in 1812? All right. And why would you call up and? Never mind. I'm done. I'm done. All right.
Maybe Lars changed the topic.
You know, can I just tell you this? When we were at the Lycus thing on Friday, I kept wishing that I could beam Lars and his audience there directly somehow. Just magically, atomically transport Lars and the people who call into his show right into the middle of that Tom Lycus event. It would have been worth it just to see their heart palpitations kick in. Let's take a break. We come back. Clyde Lewis will be joining us at the bottom of the hour. We'll talk about the news at Ground Zero. Later on, we have CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop will be joining us. Also, CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy and Peter Carlin. I'll go anywhere. It's 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Show. Rick Emerson Radio Program, 503-733-2970. How can I ever repay you?
Oh, God.
It was genius. He really sounded fantastic. Yes, Scotty J, we're speaking of you. Later on, we'll do a kind of a Lycus recap on the 1 o'clock hour. Don't forget, we got a pair of tickets to Harvey Korman and Tim Conway, their farewell performance at the Schnitzer, which is happening the 17th of this month. This week we're doing the 5-4-3-2-1 thing. So today it's fifth row seats, and then tomorrow fourth row, blah, blah, blah. And then on Friday, first row seats, and I think those are the backstage as well.
I'm sorry.
Yes?
No, can we also have a section, like maybe today or tomorrow, where we have listeners call in with questions for Joshua Jackson? Because I'm really starting to freak out.
Oh, that's right, Sarah Dillon. Let's see, 50 hours from right now, Joshua Jackson, will be sitting in that chair right there. I got the confirmation from Ginger,
his
woman.
He's probably going to have a handler, and he's just going to be in and out.
I think his handler's going to be you.
Yes. I wish. I got the green light from Nate. This is my freebie.
Just a Mac or to...
Just to...
What if he's like you and me, a broom closet, 10 minutes? Seven in heaven.
I just want to see what kind of person he's like, if he'd be fun to hang out with. Like, honestly, what I'd like is just to go out and...
Just to be friends.
Have a couple cocktails.
Yeah.
See where the night takes us.
Fantastic. I don't think he's here for the day, though. I think he's leaving.
No!
That's the thing. I think he's flying out that afternoon. Here's why. Because, see, and I didn't tell you about this, but there was like about a day where I thought that the interview wasn't going to happen, like a last Thursday, Friday, because his handler, Ginger, had sent me the thing. She was like, hey, you know, Joshua's flight got moved around. Could he come in at like 10 a.m. or whatever? And I'm like... And I email back, I'm like, hey, sister, we're on the air from like 11 to 3.
Well, is he going to be at the premiere of the movie?
I don't know the answer to that, actually.
Because maybe we could meet him the night before.
And by
get
we,
on
you
it.
Mean you, I don't even me.
You and I are going together, aren't we?
He's coming into the studio. That's all I care about. So I don't know if you'll be at the premiere of the movie the night before or not. Well, I guess I can try to find out. We should tell me what the hell we're talking about. And then we'll talk to Clyde, and then we got Dave, and then we got more from Tim. So on...
Wednesday.
Wait, is that tomorrow that the movie's
no.
premiering?
Oh, yes. That's tomorrow.
No.
I'm freaking out.
You got to calm down. You must chill. You're having a little bit of a day, and I think it's now snowballing. We're now reaching Sarah Dillon breakdown
point. Just got to tell me that you're going to be there for me. You're going to have to interview him. And then, like, you have to, like...
I don't even know what we're talking about when you say be there for you. Are you talking here in the studio?
Yes. Now I can handle my own out in the real world, but in the studio... I need
Here's what's
help.
Happening, if you've just joined us. So, today is Monday. Nothing's happening today. Tomorrow, we are going to see the premiere of the new Emilio Estevez film, Bobby, which is about Robert Kennedy Jr., which is getting rave reviews. I mean, it's easy to make fun of, you know, an Emilio Estevez film, ha, ha, ha. But apparently, it's great. And it's got an all-star cast, because as Tim Riley noted, it's about a Kennedy, and so all the liberals in Hollywood can't wait to get into it. But it's getting really, really strong reviews. And then Wednesday... Joshua Jackson, you know him as Pacey from Dawson's Creek. He is in Bobby. He will be in the studio with us at 2 p.m., sitting right here. Now, is it fair to call him, was it a teenage crush of yours?
Yes.
Okay, a teenage crush
no.
of Sarah Dillon's, who will be
yeah,
right?
It was, no.
How old would you have been? 17? Something like that?
Well, I watched it in high school a little bit,
so
because
15,
they were my
16,
age,
17?
And then I watched it in college,
yeah.
And then I watched it here,
so
and then I watched it this morning. So it
fantastic. Really an ongoing crush of yours.
That's so sad. I'm 26 and still have a crush on my teenage guy.
Well, the thing is, and I know we got to Clyde here, but I can't think of anybody to compare that to for me. I mean, I had Teeny Yothers, but I mean, it wouldn't be fair to say that Teeny Yothers are the crush. I mean, I watched her growing up, and she was cute and everything, but it would
when
not...
When they had Ginger Lynn on, you were freaked out.
Yeah, a little bit, I guess, but that's just because she's a porn star. And
you'd seen a lot of her porn.
Yeah, seen a lot of her. Christy Canyon. I freaked out a little bit when Christy... You weren't here for that, though. I think it was before your time.
Must have been.
Christy Canyon, who for a long time was my favorite porn star. There was a long period of time when Christy... She's still in the all-time top five. The Rick Emerson's top five female porn star. She's still right up there. She's a beautiful woman. Boy, she's aged really quickly, though. She's like porn years aged. I freaked out a little bit interviewing Christy Canyon just because in as much as one can have a crush on a porn star, she kind of fell into that category. But I can't think of, in terms of like a television... You know who it might be? You know who I actually... It would be Allison Hannigan from Buffy.
Yeah, you would totally geek out.
That's totally what it is. Because even thinking about it right now makes me nervous.
I am totally nervous.
You
right
got
now.
Butterflies.
So what we're going to do is I'm going to print out like hundreds of questions for you. I'm going to write them. I'm going to give them to you. And you have to do the interview. And I'll
if we went on a date, where would you take me?
So I'm going to chip it from time to time. But you can't put all the pressure of the entire interview
left
on
or
me.
Right. So we got
to... Will you agree to please do the interview if I give you all the questions?
I'm not doing that. I don't care about Joshua Jackson.
But you do.
I don't. Here's the thing. Put a pin in this, as they say, because we got to talk to Clyde.
Yeah, Clyde, please.
You just note to self. We got to keep...
We'll ask Clyde. What do you think?
We'll talk about it at one. Hold on. Joshua Jackson.
Clyde would be on my
Can
head.
I call him JJ? Hey, JJ, let me hit you up about a few things here. Let's wrap.
Respect him.
Respect. Aim the Joshua. Respect the Jackson. Let's welcome Clyde Lewis from the Rick, on the Rick Emerson Show for ClydeLewis.com. I'm high.
Hey,
hello, Clyde.
The rain makes it warmer.
Okay.
That was the last thing I heard before I came to lunch, was that the rain makes it warmer.
And how does that happen? I don't really care. Never mind.
Because the cloud cover holds in the heat, and the rain causes friction, which causes the warmth. And since we have this Pineapple Express moving through, it's a pressure system that makes it warmer.
See, this is the thing. Your explanation started off with logic and sense, and I think you went crazy about halfway through when you said the rain causes friction.
Well, because I said Pineapple Express.
What does the rain cause friction with?
Well, it causes friction when it falls.
With what?
Well, with the air. Air, it's like when the shuttle comes down, it catches on fire because there's friction in the air.
So, by that logic, if enough birds were flapping their way around the city, it would heat the city?
That's why sometimes if it really snows and the snow's very hard, it feels warmer than it really is, because that's what it causes. It causes that static electricity feeling. It's kind of a ozone effect, and it feels warmer.
You know what you do? You're exploiting my ignorance. You are exploiting the fact that I don't know whether this is crap or not.
Well, I studied meteorology for a while. I wanted to be a TV weatherman before I ever wanted to get into radio.
I thought you wanted to be an undertaker.
I did. I wanted to be a bunch of things. You know, that's me. I like to be a lot of things to a lot of people.
Well, there's still time.
I'll try.
Do you think that there ought to be a porn magazine called Ozone?
Ozone.
Yeah, the Ozone.
Ozone.
Oh.
Oh, you need to have a little respect for Sarah's childhood crush.
I have respect.
I know, and I'm a little nervous. Don't, Clyde, if it was you, wouldn't you let me give you the questions and you could ask
them? Yeah,
I would.
I would let you give me questions so I could ask them so that you would know, so you didn't look too overly, you know, because you got to keep your cool, because you're Sarah Dillon, so you got to be a little cool around your...
Exactly.
Kissing
so
ass.
That's why I'm happy that Rick has agreed to do it, and I'm going to give him...
Rick has agreed to do no such thing. We'll talk about it. I have my reasons.
All right, whatever. I mean, I just think that you should do that just for Sarah's sake. After all, Sarah is your compadre, your girl Friday, and you should back her up.
My girl Friday?
Yeah.
Give me a turkey pot pie. Yeah,
Who was it that took you from a kind of a sloppy image guy to a very good-looking, imposing guy like you are now? It was Sarah Dillon.
Yeah, that is a fair point.
She dressed you. She fed you, she clothed you, and now this is the kind of respect you give her?
Scotty J is noting on the screen that she is my Sacagawea.
Your Sacagawea?
What's that?
Hey.
How much Jawea?
Saka.
Sacagawea.
She is a Sacagawea.
How much tool?
What?
How much tool?
Sacatool.
No, Miles O'Toole. All right, never mind.
Miles O'Toole.
So, hey, let me just tell you this. And now you know that you and I respectfully agree to be on opposite sides of most things, kind of spooky and paranormal, and that's fine. But
right.
I got to tell you,
man. Are you kind of like hedging of the idea that people are saying that you treated me like a real jerk last week?
I didn't treat you. You were high, first of all.
I was not high.
Sarah,
I was in a place trying to struggle between
Sarah,
radio and talking with the lovely Rebecca. I was having lunch with her.
Are you going to interview Joshua Jackson for me?
That remains. It depends on how you answer the question.
You said you were high.
I said I was high just to basically make you feel like, you know, yeah, I'm high, but I'm not high. Because you thought I was high, so I just thought, you know, you think I'm high anyway, so whatever.
Okay. No,
so a lot of people came to me at the seance wondering why you were being such a jerk to me.
I wasn't being a jerk. I was not.
And I had to sit there and I had to smile and say, well, you know, Rick has his following. Rick has his people.
That's not... Oh, God. Don't be an ass.
You hurt his feelings.
No, Clyde's being mean to me now. No, look, here's the thing.
Maybe what goes around comes around.
Clyde, I'm just saying, A, you sounded high. And first of all, you cannot just start being my sworn enemy because I haven't said I'd interview Joshua Jackson.
I'm not your sworn enemy.
I'm talking to you. We sometimes have problems, and we have our problems.
People always like to find out why you and I are like bickering with each other. And I don't feel like we bicker. I just feel like that, you know, maybe it comes off like you're bickering.
Have I stumbled into a marriage counseling session? Okay, first of all, A.
Yeah.
I'm saying Sarah has started acting like my sworn enemy in the last 5 minutes because I haven't agreed to interview Joshua Jackson. B.
Well, you're making a lot of friends and you're influencing a lot of people right now, Rick. I don't know what the problem is.
Sarah and I both felt that you sounded high last week because it came on the heels of you. I'm not saying you were, but I'm saying it came on the heels of you talking about how you'd spent the previous night sucking on a hookah.
Yeah, Clyde, it's not in a bad way at all. Sometimes you just sound loopier than others.
I was on a hookah. I was at a party. I was sucking on a hookah.
There's nothing wrong with sounding high. I'm just saying you did. At the risk of kettle talking to pot here, you were a little long winded. You were sort of rambling.
Well, either. I mean, I'm kind of having some problems, but
I'm just saying, Rick Emerson respects
you. Having problems? Are you okay?
I'm doing okay. Yeah.
No, you know, Rick Emerson has much love for Clyde Lewis. You know that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. I said that.
All I'm saying, you bastards, is that I was at the Rose and Thistle and with Aaron and Jason and the guys, and I was looking at those photos from the Rose and Raindrop,
and I say
I have only ever been there once. I went, I had dinner there one time, but I've never been down there below, and I've never been there again, just because, you know, this is not one of the places I go to. But I gotta say, those photos from your seance downstairs are very freaky. They're really cool looking.
Oh, I know, and I haven't even seen Chris's yet, and I know that Chris is, Jason's yet.
That's what I'm talking about. I was looking at the photos that Jason and Prime took, and I gotta see, this was all leading to a compliment. I was gonna say that the photos of your seance were really cool and really creepy looking.
Well, I appreciate that. I want to let you know, though, that for the first time in the history of any paranormal investigation I've been involved with, I actually had a paranormal investigation that kind of went wrong, kind of went bad. We had a demon attack the women that were at the seance. And it was evident they had pain, they doubled over in pain, they were harmed, and I felt really bad about it. But in the same light, I felt as though that it was interesting to note that what attacked them was interesting. It was and this is going to sound really odd coming from me, maybe not, a Mesopotamian demon by the name of Obisuth attacked the women at the seance.
Oh, let me write this down. A Mesopotamian demon
Mesopotamian demon by the name of Obisuth attacked the women at the seance. And Obisuth attacks women who have, well, actually attacks them in the womb. And the women that were there doubled over in pain. And one of the women that were there, we had to call her out of the room because she was pregnant. It was a very, very scary moment. And in fact, what had happened is that Sadie Gregg and I were working together in the seance. And apparently the Ouija board pulled out from underneath of her. And basically she broke the circle and immediately something got in that didn't need to get in there. And it was really a scary experience for everybody that was there.
Well, the photos were really creepy. They, I mean, because it was like a crematorium, right? It used to be, or
right.
It is, or it was. And,
well, yeah, it was a funeral home. It was one of the first funeral homes in 1890 on the Barber Block. They built a funeral home there. And in fact, Holman's, there's funeral directors here. They were the ones that were involved with making this funeral home. And
the one on the top of Hawthorne, on the hill up there?
Yeah, they're the same. I think they're the same people. But
yeah, it says they've been there since like the 1800s.
Yeah, and so that funeral home was where the Rose and the Raindrop now is located. And what we sensed was that there was female energy and a child energy in the room. And we have what is known as electronic voice phenomena, where what we've done is we recorded the voices of the ghosts, and we have recordings of a woman, recordings of a child singing, someone yelling, "Leave me alone," all kinds of strange ghostly voices. We also have a picture that was taken in sequence. A number of pictures that were taken in sequence of the woman walking across the balcony. Actually, you don't know if it is a woman or not because it looks like just a blob moving across the balcony. It's kind of interesting. And then we have a child, a shadow of a child standing in the basement, and also another face forming in the basement. So some really scary photos that we have that we're going to show tonight at Dante's. Plus, we're going to be playing the EVP, the electronic voice phenomena that we also detected. And we're also are going to be invited to come back to the Rose and Raindrop sometime in December before they close.
Now,
we're
going to
have an overnight
gathering. Yeah, they told me you're going to do like a whole, like a ghost slumber party overnight thing.
Yeah, we're going to spend the night there, and we're going to bring in cameras.
That's
and
cool.
Can I go, Clyde?
Do you want to go?
Totally.
Okay, well, if you want to go, then...
That's pretty cool.
That sounds like the scariest thing I could ever think of, and I want to do it.
Yeah, whether anybody believes in that stuff or not, that sounds like a really cool kind of spooky thing.
We were discussing on how we wanted to invite... we wanted to be like, you know, investigators are seriously looking into this. We're going to be using cameras to monitor the situation. And we wanted to invite probably maybe a couple of your listeners that are, you know, that don't know about what to do to investigate. We were thinking about opening it up to certain people and inviting them to spend the night with us too, but they have to seriously be wanting to go in and work. That's what we do, is we go and we work, we do the investigation. I'm going to contact the Atlantic Paranormal Society, the TAPS people. I'm going to see if they want to come out too, because I was really thinking that this would be something. This is a huge event. What we had happen to us on Halloween was probably the most important, if not the, you know, the most important paranormal experience of my career happened that night. And I just think it's just amazing what has happened. And the witnesses are going to be there tonight. Hopefully we'll get most of them there. That we'll talk about what happened. They were in the seance, especially the women that were attacked.
So this all gets underway tonight at Dante's at 8 o'clock.
You're going to
have the footage.
Really,
and people telling the story and everything. And,
and another thing, too, the Rose and the Raindrop, the day after we did the seance, the plumbing and the power at the building all went bad, and so they were trying to get that up and running on Saturday, and we had walked in, and they said we were closed. I talked to Tom, the owner, and he's really excited about what's happening here, and we're looking into, like I said, doing another investigation, hopefully opening up to a few people that are interested in participating. It's going to be an overnight gig, probably on a Saturday night. We'll be going from 1 in the morning till about 6 in the morning, spending the night there and monitoring the situation.
Very cool. So go see all this tonight and see these photos really are cool. They're creepy looking. So it's all going to be getting underway tonight, 8 o'clock at Dante's, which is right downtown. And then you'll have more details to come at there. ClydeLewis.com.
Yeah, it's going to be, if you miss out tonight, you're going to be missing out on a great show, because we've been having some really blockbuster shows that have been happening. And this one, of course, we're going to be showing some things tonight, and we're going to be playing the EVP, and it's just going to give you the creeps, because it's
cool.
Just some really strange stuff going on at the Rose Parade.
Very cool. Clyde Lewis, ladies and gentlemen, see him tonight at the Ground Zero Lounge. Thanks, man.
Take care.
All right, there you go. There's Zach. Clyde Lewis, ladies and gentlemen. I was nice.
You need to be nice.
I was totally
you
nice.
You need to be nicer to Clyde.
I was completely nice just now. This whole phone call, I was very nice. But I was in my own defense, but I had to do it that I wasn't mean to him
last week. Emails from our listeners.
I know that I'm the last person who should ever make this, but Clyde does go on sometimes.
He did say that he was high.
He did. Thanks for not backing me up, by the way.
You know, I'm asking one little thing of you, which is, you know, I'm scared. I would like for, I'll prepare the entire interview, but I just need you to interview him instead of me. And you're not even willing to say yes to it.
But I have my reasons.
You do not have any reasons.
I do.
What have I done to you?
We have to go to Tim Riley. I don't wish for Tim to be shortchanged. Do you, Sarah? You don't wish to shortchange Tim Riley, do you, Sarah Dillon?
I don't, but just
well,
really
quick. Well, if there's a discussion of progress, I'll be glad to wait till it's resolved.
No, it's fine.
No, I'd just like to know why, after all that Rick and I have been through, I'm asking him this one little favor, and he won't do it.
I haven't said that I wouldn't do it. I'm just saying that I think there's factors you haven't considered. That's all I'm saying. I haven't said that I won't do it. I'm just saying there's another side to this that I think you need to weigh.
Okay, well, let's finish Tim, and then we'll talk about it next hour.
Thank you. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, I have... Well, two conflicting headlines here, both out of Baghdad. One says, around-the-clock curfew is keeping a lid on things in Baghdad. The second story says, Saddam death sentence sparks dancing in the streets. So apparently there's no curfew for those wishing to dance in the streets.
But you know, when they hang him, it's just going to be a riot. I mean, literally. Not a riot like in a kooky, fun-filled spritzers and cream pie kind of way. But I mean, there's going to be, you know what I mean? Not like, oh, it's a riot. I mean, when they hang him.
Remember the Ayatollah when he died? People were grabbing the body and throwing it out of the casket? I hope it's one of those.
Those were good times. And wasn't there a second time that happened?
No, it could be.
Are we talking about the same thing?
You're thinking about Mussolini.
Mussolini.
And his mistress.
No. Now you're thinking of Ceausescu.
Oh, that was the guy that was pulled out of the tank on Christmas Day.
And then they hung him upside down and cut off his head.
And shot as a gift to his people.
Yeah, but he was a bastard.
Yeah, he was.
He had it coming. In Romania?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a dick. He totally had that coming.
Yeah.
So that's a bad way to end your Christmas, by the way. Merry Christmas! Oh! You know, just upside down, off with the head.
They were the only people allowed to wear coats in the winter in that country.
Yeah, screw him. All right. So, anyway, my whole thing is,
yes.
When they hang Saddam, though, because there are still people, I would imagine, in Iraq that are pro-Saddam, because this just seems, in my opinion, as a journalist...
There are red states and blue states.
Well, and it does seem... Now, maybe I'm wrong about this, but it does seem that when Saddam was in power, for better or worse...
There
was order in that because he kept all the warring factions in line. The Shiites and the... Right. That was his thing, right? As he's like, well, there's all these groups who hate each other, but they will fear me more than they fear each other, and I will keep them in line, and there will not be war. And so that's all I'm saying. I'm not saying he's a good guy. Clearly he was not. He was a mass murdering...
He's better than
nothing. A-hole. But I'm just saying, it does seem, from my vantage point, that there was less violence when he was in charge than there is now. So people may be sort of missing that era in some way. And so there may be some sort of a violent uprising when we hang him. I'm
like Tears for Stalin.
Yes. Yes. There should be a play called that. Well, let me get these real quickly, and then we'll have more news. Dave, hello, sir.
Dave.
Hey.
I guess that helium barge must have cut me off. The helium barge just passed me on a river here. You still there?
Hello? Yeah, the helium barge must have cut you off, yes.
Yes, anyway.
Why, Helen? Why do you do these things?
Yes, how can I help you, sir?
Well, I don't know, less caffeine.
Oh, is this is Dave who called us from the river.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know. I'm sorry. Scotty. Well, there's a lot of guys named Dave. Like we went through this phase where like everybody in the audience was named Scott, and then for a while everybody was named Brandon. Now everybody's named Dave. So yeah, you got cut off when you were talking before.
Call me Hatteras, Dave.
Hatteras. Okay. What was the point you were making?
No, the point I was...
What? Hello.
Yes, there you go.
Hello, Dave.
Right. Rick.
We lost him again. Oh, it's too bad. All right.
They could have been an SOS from his boat sinking on the whole island, and here you just hung up.
No, I didn't hang up. The phone was...
Oh, I'm sorry.
We lost him.
Yeah, that is what happened to me.
There are no Americans in Baghdad. Here's Tim Riley.
The television networks could be in for a long night tomorrow. That's election night. We made mistakes in the past, says NBC anchor Brian Williams. I start from the assumption that I will wake up with a sore back on my couch. After an all-nighter.
What is Mrs. Williams angry at him?
After an all-nighter. Okay.
I'm going to end up sore and covered in jelly.
There's got to be a lot of hedging, says George Stephanopoulos, who works for ABC.
Yeah.
You may know it, but you can't say it.
Well, they don't want to screw themselves again like they did with the, Al Gore has won that crap, where they just get themselves in, yeah.
So that's that.
Okay.
Let's do a religious nutcase watch because it's very important.
Your religious nutcase watch. For Monday, for the Rick Emerson radio program. No.
Let's go to B for this one.
Excellent.
Disgraced evangelist Ted Haggard has admitted he is guilty of what he calls sexual immorality.
Well, I guess we were going to do this as a clergy watch, although I guess technically that wouldn't be accurate anymore.
No, sorry. In a letter read by Pastor Larry Stockstill before his New Life Church in Colorado Springs, Haggard wrote, quote, "I am a deceiver and a liar," end quote.
"I have sinned again.
For extended periods of time, I would enjoy victory and rejoice in freedom. Then, from time to time, the dirt that I thought was gone would resurface. And I would find myself thinking thoughts and experiencing desires that were contrary to everything I believe in."
The dirt that he thought was... Are you troubled by stubborn homosexual stains? The dirt that he thought was gone would surface?
Yes.
Like it's a grass stain on his trousers or something.
So he resigned as president of the National Association of Evangelicals last week after being accused of having a sexual relationship with a male prostitute, a very old one, who's also a drug addict. Apparently, he's probably the only male prostitute in Colorado Springs. He just happens to be almost 50.
Any port in a storm.
He added that there is a part of his life he's been battling against all his adult life, a part he described as...
"My penis.
Pulsive and dark," unquote. He urged a congregation to stay faithful to God and said he would never return to a leadership position in the church. Oh, please come back. He has agreed to step down as the church's senior pastor. Back now to Pastor Larry Stockwell, reading from a written statement by the Reverend Ted Haggard, saying Haggard admits to his guilt.
"The fact is, I am guilty of sexual immorality, and I take responsibility for the entire problem. I am a deceiver and a liar."
He needs a big bathtub full of ice cubes.
Envision yourself sitting in a tub full of snakes and worms, Pastor. That'll help.
The congregation should continue to worship God by all means.
"Please stay faithful to God through serving and giving."
Yeah, here's the thing that constantly creeps me out, and I thought it was just Catholics who did this, but apparently it's nutcase evangelists too, where they talk about this whole business of staying faithful to God and your relationship with God. And really, it sounds like nuns do this too, where nuns are married to God, and it's all phrased as though Jesus is giving you some sort of holy shtup. You know what I mean? It's really, prepare to kneel and receive the word of the Lord. It's all very strange that like your service to God is put in these weird marriage like pseudo social sexual terms.
Sockwell, reading from a written statement by Haggard, says he and his lovely wife will continue to be part of the church.
"Uh-huh. Gail and I need to be gone for a while. We will never return to a leadership role at New Life Church. In our hearts, we will always be members of this body.
Members of this
we
body.
We love you as our family."
Ah! All right, there you go. Oh, fantastic. That warms my heart. It really does.
So if there are any more out there, please come forward because this is the last day to do this.
Seriously. Like, I mean, the election...
If you know anybody. It doesn't matter if it's true or not.
Election's a good story. Oh, it's fantastic. And has he talked about the meth yet? Is he still sticking to the, I bought it and then chucked it into a trash can?
We haven't heard about the meth lately.
Yeah, there was... and Drudge had the most awkward headline when he was talking about the story of Drudge. You got to give it to that Drudge. People dislike him. They really do. But you know what? He is sort of great in a horrible way. I mean, he really does know how to write a headline.
Mm-hmm.
And Drudge had written this thing when the guy was saying that he'd... Which I guess he's... Is he even admitting that he had sex with the guy with the massage?
He's not admitting it, but apparently there's some things behind the scene that people aren't disclosing that he is guilty of.
What are those things?
Nobody's admitting exactly what they are.
Oh.
But apparently it's some filthy underarm stain.
It's a new way to do it. But Drudge had this headline about... And I swear to God, the headline said... Massage, dot, 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 but no release.
Oh, I read that.
Just
it made you feel dirty.
It really, just reading it, I wanted to go home and give myself a good scrubbing. So there you go.
I mean, it's like some personal ad from the 1970s.
Really, exactly. We offer, our lovely ladies offer full service massage for all of you weary travelers. And we should maybe clarify this right now. I believe I can speak for the Rick Emerson Show on this. We do not care what consenting adults do. We do not care what persons of age choose to engage in activity-wise. Just don't be a hypocritical, self-righteous, moralizing, religious a-hole about it. See also Mark Foley. There you go. I mean, that's the problem. But these things do seem to have a way of working themselves out.
Yes, don't they?
Yeah, so we...
that's the end.
Any more shame from this guy's...
That's it at this very moment.
Fantastic. We're up there. Getting lots of Joshua Jackson emails.
What are they saying?
I don't know. Rick, how about this? Has Sarah never seen Empire Records? Meeting her equivalent of Rex Manning might not be the feel-good experience she's expecting. Just a thought. P.S. Best show ever.
That's awesome. That's so true. What if he's just a gigantic douche?
Well, who's to say?
I wonder, and he got arrested for assault. I need to research what he got arrested
really?
For.
Really? Joshua Jackson did?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, speaking of being arrested for assault, has anybody, this issue, the Inquirer that's out this week, have we all seen it?
No.
Did I bring it in with me?
Nobody sees it, Rick. You're the only one.
That's not true.
We just wait to hear it from you.
I think I have it right here. Oh, here we go. This, the cover of this, you know how much it costs to subscribe to the Inquirer? I was going to get you this for your birthday, and I didn't, Sarah.
You still haven't gotten me anything for my birthday.
I did. Here's the thing. Your birthday present is in two halves. The first half I have. I just never got the second half of it. And so, anyway, I was going to get you the Inquirer. Like a subscription to the Inquirer?
That would be awesome.
Yeah, but A, do you know how much it is? Isn't it like
$100?
It's like $75.
Oh, man.
Oh. And see, here's the thing. It's not that I'm opposed to spending $75 on you, because, you know, we have a warm, sibling-like relationship.
Do we?
We do, but it's like, but most of this crap would be outdated by the time you got it. Like, in a world of Perez Hilton and, you know, the Bosch and all that stuff, it's like, it would just be, you'd get this and it would already be out of date. Like, how often do we pick up Star Magazine and we've already learned all the crap inside of it?
As any magazine.
Yeah, so that's why I didn't get it for you. It would have really just been for the novelty value, and I don't want to pay $75.
It wouldn't be thrifty.
No, it would not.
And Jen Lane bought me, for my birthday last year, she bought me a year subscription to, the Weekly World News?
Right.
Yeah, those suckers just kept on coming for years.
Yeah, it's like, even if you really stopped reading it, it's like, no offense, but it's like, how many times can you read that, and you go, oh, it's Bat Boy. And then it just keeps coming. But the front of this week's Inquirer, it's like Sarah Dillon's best issue ever. It is nothing but pictures of fat celebrities shoving food into their mouths, along with their weights, you know? And it's 200 pounds, and it's like a picture of her like going, like shoving a huge pizza into her mouth. Carney Wilson seen shoving a cupcake into her face. 300 pounds. John Travolta in a hot tub with a soda in one hand and a candy bar in the other. 246. And then, of course, Kirstie Alley, who's the gift that keeps on giving in terms of fat celebrities. And then it's got this, and it says, guess who? And it's some fat blonde celebrity. I'm calling, and that looks a lot like Martha Stewart to me.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too.
But she seems a little fat.
And her nose seems a little round.
Yeah, so I don't know if that's her or not. Okay, but here's the thing. If you look at the top, Grey's Anatomy star Batter's wife, Patrick Dempsey. Look at his ex-wife. How old would you say she is? Sarah? Patrick Dempsey, who's what, 40, maybe?
Yeah.
Maybe? He's, you know, everybody in my generation knows from Can't Buy Me Love. If you look at the cover of this week's Inquirer, it's like Patrick Dempsey from Grey's Anatomy allegedly beat his ex-wife. That's what she claimed. But look at the photo of her, Tim. How old would you say his ex-wife is?
I would say she's a rough, like, 75.
She looks like Margaret Thatcher.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and I don't know the story there. I haven't read the article yet.
I read a little bit of the story, how he married her when he was on the when he was doing Can't Buy Me Love.
Really?
Here's and she's like 20 years older. Yeah, 20, 25 years older.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. I'm just saying, she's like, and she looks bad. I mean, that's not a woman who's aged gracefully right
now.
So there you go. It really is Sarah's best issue ever, though. So what are we going to do?
Well, we can talk about head lice or a naked man with a concealed weapon.
Hold on. What? Scotty, what is this? What? What did you just say?
I said, well, I thought you were asking me what... So I was giving you a choice of things.
Okay, well, we're late, so we might as well go a little later. Scotty, do you...
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say, except...
You're not going to amount to...
Thank you.
All right, Scotty J, hello, sir.
Hey,
I can't understand. What does this mean, this call?
Oh, he just wants to give you a piece of his mind. A chance to explain, I guess.
About what?
About a comment you made about Christ, apparently.
Oh, no.
Come on, Scotty.
The Christ?
The Christ.
Sound like Bob
himself.
Christ from Tualatin or something.
Right.
What did I say about Christ?
Personally, I don't know exactly, because I was answering phone calls and working diligently in the back closet.
Way to just sure call responsibility. Way to pawn it off. I don't know. I'm only the phone screener. All right. Well, let's find out. Chris, hello, sir.
Yeah, well, I take great offense to your comments.
You take
your
great offense to my comments?
Yeah, I take great offense to your comments, because okay. no one else will stand up and say this to you, that it's some sort of... a personal relationship between someone and God or Christ or Jesus is some kind of pseudo-sexual thing, and that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. No better.
Okay, he wasn't talking about God. He was talking about the priest who was sleeping with the 40-year-old prostitute.
He said engaged being married to God, the nuns being married to God, is some sort of sexual pseudo thing or something.
Oh, no, it's true. It's completely true, especially in the Catholic Church, where everything is couched in these weird pseudo-sexual terms.
There's no terms at all about it, Rick.
Well, no.
Whatsoever.
Okay, that's why I said pseudo-sexual. There is a difference. And when I say
that's your opinion, and someone's relationship with God...
Just channeling like it now. Everything I say in the show is my opinion.
Maybe you don't have one.
If the Rick Emerson show, it's all my opinion.
Some of us do. Maybe you don't.
Some of us do what? Maybe
some of
you
us
don't.
Do have a relationship with God. Maybe you don't. I'm saying I take offense at that, and that's just my point. This is my opinion.
You want married?
Rather yours all day, now it's my turn.
Yes.
There you go.
He's married. Yes.
He's one of God's wives. He's angry.
I didn't get a chance to say it.
That just ruined the whole program. Thank you, Scotty.
However will I go on?
Yeah.
I just hate it when somebody talks so much that they just want to, like, spout out their opinion and then hang up. Like,
seriously, and by the way, Chris, because I know you are still listening, it is completely and totally true, especially in the Catholic Church. Now, again, I'm not trying to knock on Catholics above and beyond anybody else, simply my area of expertise, my area of experience in religion, but everything about the relationship with God in that church is put in these weird, bizarre, he is your pseudo-husband
and
kind of terms.
And they do say you're married to God. That's what the saying is.
Well, it's really anything that involves a lot of you being on your knees before the Lord and suffer the little children to come unto me.
I'm just a little disappointed that Chris, being the big fan of our Holy Father, wouldn't try to be nice to us and forgive us. Instead, he'd like to condemn us and not try and teach us the right way.
No! Don't want to be tolerant. Don't want to be tolerant and civil when you call up. That might be something Christ would do, Chris. Remember, you cannot spell Christ without Chris, sir. So, for shame, my friends. For shame!
Ooh, we have a whiteboard.
Where is your God now? Oh, yeah, we have a dry erase board. Isn't that badass?
Yeah, that's cool.
Wait, hold on. Now!
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, now we have this dry erase board that I brought from
New
home.
Pen?
Yes, that's fantastic.
Woo!
So that's
what
that is nice.
We can track our guests. What was I doing? Oh, I have nothing. I don't know what I was doing. There we go. That's for you, sir.
Thank you. So much.
Fantastic. All right, should we break here?
Let's do it. Yeah. Oh, I didn't even realize how late we were.
No, this is Ed McCarthy already.
Oh.
We should just talk to Ed McCarthy.
Yeah,
I think we should.
All right,
that
ladies and gentlemen, welcome now to the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Our good... Did I just hang up on him? Oh, that's instant karma right there. Jesus punishing me.
That's from God. Where is your God now?
Thou fingers shall grow large and fatty, and thou shalt not be able to accurately answer phone calls and speak with Ed McCarthy. No, that's me, Scotty. That's because I picked it up in the bottom bank. And then there we go. That's, let's welcome now. Hello, Ed McCarthy, sir.
Hello, sir.
Hello.
How are you? I'm here.
That was totally me. That was me and my fat-ass fingers. Completely incapable.
I do that every once in a while. Oh, itchy fingers on the phone, bang, they're gone.
It is true. How are things in the dirty South, my friend?
They're good. If we get any more telemarketing calls for politics, I think I'll lose my mind.
Oh, man, I think Stephanie Miller was talking this morning. She's had two different phone calls from Bill Clinton where she answers the phone and says, hey, this is Bill Clinton. I'd like to encourage you to. So, I mean, they're really, man, they're trying to turn out the living and raise the dead like it was, you know, like it was the Chicago funeral. So
you're afraid to answer the phone, you know. Let the message machine pick it up, and then you go, delete.
Yeah, the thing is, I don't have a landline anymore. I only have a cell phone. And so I don't get any of these. I don't get any of the I don't get political calls. I don't get telemarketers. They just haven't discovered my number yet. It's only a matter of time, but they haven't discovered my number yet.
Well, that's true. And that's good. Consider yourself fortunate. But, after tomorrow, all the negative stuff, it'll all be over.
Yeah, I know. Well, I like to think that it'll keep, you know, it'll go on endlessly in my head. Let's talk about our good friend, the very reverend and fabulous Ted Haggard. Did he quit the church or did he leave the church? Was he asked to leave?
Yeah, he was forced to leave. But, you know, as we were talking on Friday, remember how the story kept changing? And apparently now it's changed so much that finally he just, that was it.
He just finally was just like, screw it, and he's pulled the ripcord.
He's pulled the ripcord, and, you know, more to come later maybe, but probably not. This is probably one of those deals now where he's going to, get out, and they'll hope they'll forget.
Yeah.
Know?
No, it's true. And they say that less than a day after being fired from leadership of the evangelical megachurch, when they say megachurch, how many people were in this church that he headed?
Well, he was the head of, a group of the evangelical organization. So we're talking a total of about 40,000. That's a lot of people.
No, it's, he had like a Monday morning meetings with George Bush, he wasn't an advisor, but he seemed like a guy who had a lot of suction, as they say.
He was on all those conference calls all the time, every day.
The best part, by the way, was watching, it wasn't even Tony Snow, it was like some third level guy that they rolled up this morning and say, well, I wouldn't say that it was every week. These calls to the Bush administration were sporadic in nature. They're just trying, they're back, it's like with Jack Abramoff, man, they are just backpedaling as fast as they possibly can. So it is, I mean, they are really with both arms and legs, they're trying to distance themselves from this nutcase. So what is it? So he said he called himself a deceiver and a liar.
I'm a deceiver and a liar, and I've had a problem that I've been fighting for most of my life, is how he put it.
Yes, and so, but he said, what is it? So he's still married, though, right? I mean, and his wife, I mean, he's one of these guys that put up, like, the family front because it served his sort of religious ends. But this male prostitute has been, what, like 3 years? 5 years, something like that?
Yeah, he's got five kids, and the wife says that, she says, well, you know, she's with him till death till they part.
You know, God bless her. I just don't understand these guys, and I'm not asking you to explain this, because I don't really know if this can be explained, but I don't understand these guys who just... I mean, the whole thing is just so bizarre how almost without fail, these guys who stand up and are just, I mean, maybe that's the thing, is it's like a hiding in plain sight kind of a thing, but because it is these guys who just are seemingly obsessed with, take for example, him and Mark Foley, these guys who are just obsessed with gay sex. Just obsessed when they wake up in the morning, the moment their feet hit the floor, all they're thinking about is gay sex constantly. It's all they talk about. They're seething about it. They're angry about it. They're trying to stamp it out. I mean, it must be just some weird back channel way to just get all of that gay sexual tension that lurks within them out into the open somehow, but it all just inevitably just turns back and backfires on these guys. Is this going to screw the Bush administration in any way, you think?
Well, I don't know. You know, you've had two things happen. You had the Kerry thing happen, and you've had this happen. You just don't...
No.
I think there are issues that... I think the totals are going to be pretty good this time. They're saying 40% usually for a midterm, but, you know, these hot states, you know, like Missouri and Connecticut, New Jersey, you know, they're going to have some good ones.
No, it's true. And we were talking to Lisa Goddard. She says that there is a Vegas line on this election. Apparently, there's also some new, like, a web-based thing where it's like fantasy football, but it's like fantasy elections. Fantasy, where you buy stock in Congress people, and I guess you can do it with real money. You try save, but you buy stock in Congress people, and then you track their careers, and that's your money either goes up or down. depending on how your representatives and senators fare. So it's, I'll be curious to see how this all shakes out tomorrow. I mean, it's it, all of the stories of this nature end up being super heated. They end up becoming much larger than they normally would, and it's all because of this election cycle. So it's
exactly
it's a good time to be us. It really is. All right, CNN Radio correspondent Ed McCarthy, my friend. We will speak to you very soon. Enjoy the rest of your Southern day.
I will. All right. Take care.
There you go. Ed McCarthy, ladies and gentlemen. There you go. Fantastic. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, be back after... Boy, good God almighty. Is it 1:15?
Sure is.
All right. I got all these emails about Joshua Jackson and so forth and hey.
Why don't we talk about that when we get back?
All right. Let's do. All right. Let's talk about that when we return. Which will be after this. Hello. The Rick Emerson Radio Program. We return momentarily. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. We return. We have the details about Joshua Jackson's arrest for assault. Stay there. Don't go anywhere.